people loved by God? As our travels through Hebrews draws to a close, are there any particular questions, insights, comments you'd like to share? Send them to contact@thewordendures.org. We'll do a bonus episode addressing them. contact@thewordendures.org.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Now, obey and submit are words that most people bristle at. Who are you to tell me what to do?
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Hebrews.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Today we come to the end of our journey through Hebrews, at least this time through. You remember last time, he kept on fleshing out for us what life in God's Zion looked like as it is lived in this fallen age. How it's a life of remembering those who spoke the word of God to us, and how the church, therefore, in every age keeps calendars of remembrance to thank God for the saints of old who handed on the word, and how we ought to give thought to the outcome of their way of life, that though it brought them suffering and sorrow in this world, it also brought them to the glories of the kingdom. And above all, we ought imitate their faith in the unseen blessings God has promised. He reminded us that Jesus never changes, the same forever, and he warned against getting caught up in fights about kosher foods and things like that, instead of focusing on being strengthened in the heart by grace. He did speak of food, a food from an altar that even the Levitical priests were not worthy to receive, the altar of the cross, outside the camp, outside the city of Jerusalem. He urged us to follow Jesus outside of Judaism into the new worship established by the cross, and through Jesus to offer up to God continual sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise, ornamenting those with good deeds, joyfully sharing the things God has given us with all our sisters and brothers in need, a joyous way to live life indeed. Now, he wraps up with his final exhortations, gives a benediction, and then there's what I think of as a postscript for when the sermon was turned into a letter to be shared among early Christians. So, beginning at Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with all of you. Hebrews 13, verses 17 to 25. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Ready to finish up Hebrews? Let's do it. Verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Leaders is a bit of a paraphrase and maybe softens too much what the speaker of Hebrews said. Here's how the King James rendered it. Obey them that have the rule over you. That's faithful. Now, obey and submit are words that most people bristle at. Who are you to tell me what to do? Well, in this case, those who have the rule over you are those whom God set in place with the charge of keeping watch out for your souls, and who will have to give an account to him of how they have done so. St. John Chrysostom, the patriarch of Antioch and Constantinople at the turn of the 4th and 5th centuries, sees anarchy, not having leaders in the church, as a very great evil and cause of many calamities. But he also knows that there are bad church leaders and considers that even worse than anarchy. He realizes, though, that there might be the case that their doctrine is sound, but their life, a disaster. In that case, he says, submit to their doctrine, just don't follow their example, the old do as I say, not as I do. And he argues that when Jesus says, judge not that you may not be judged, he was speaking about judging people's lives. Not about the faith. About the faith, Jesus warns, beware of false prophets. So yes, God does intend you to submit to your pastor as he is teaching you God's word truthfully. He may indeed fail to live up to what he teaches truthfully. In fact, show me the man who doesn't. But if he teaches us God's word, we submit to that word and to his teaching. And we know he's keeping watch over our souls, and God will require it of him on the last day. And people loved by God, you have to take to heart this beautiful word, to let their work of watching over your souls be to them a joy, not a groaning. Look, when they come to you with the word of God, nothing delights your pastor's soul more than to hear you say, amen, Lord. It is as you say in your word. Nothing grieves their heart more than to hear you say, I don't care what the Bible says, or often the same thing. Well, that's just your interpretation, which you know perfectly well. You just say because you don't like what the word is actually saying. So let them do their shepherding job. Help hold them accountable to the word. You know, in our Lutheran small catechism, the most important part, in my opinion, is the questions that it teaches you to ask. For instance, where is this written? No true shepherd of Christ will ever balk at you asking for the scriptural grounds for a teaching or a practice. Verse 18, pray for us. For we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. I suspect at this point we've moved into what was appended to that original homily when it was turned into a letter. He asks for prayer, confident of his own integrity and of those who are with him, probably Timothy and others, as we'll hear shortly. He asks for the prayer specifically that he may be restored to them all the sooner. That suggests that the man whose sermon they have been enjoying is physically distant from them now, and he wants to see them again. This is a common theme in Paul's writings, and one of the big reasons so many of the Eastern Church Fathers thought it had to come from Paul's own hand, this letter to the Hebrews. Though even Chrysostom observes that in the other epistles, he prays in the prefaces, but in this one, here at the end. So, like Paul, but not exactly like Paul. Restored to you might also suggest that the author is in prison, as Paul often was, or simply that he needs to finish whatever task has been given to him so that he can finally return home to them. He next gives a beautiful benediction. Verse 20. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The God of peace. You want some peace? Think of this. You have a great shepherd, Jesus Christ. His blood secures an eternal covenant of forgiveness for you, and through it, the God of peace equips you with absolutely everything good you'll ever need to do his will. And don't try to bring out your, but I can't, because it doesn't hang on your canning. It hangs on his working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Chrysostom says that means having your doctrine and your life right and orthodox. And all of this is his gift through Jesus, to whom be the glory to the ages, forever. Peace. You've got a great shepherd whom death could not hold, and so it can't hold you either. And then, as if scribbled at the tail end, I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I've written to you briefly. Briefly? 13 chapters hardly strikes us as brief writing. Perhaps he has reference to those miscellaneous exhortations that pepper the closing chapter, possibly. Or more likely, 13 chapters of reading, a homily, probably wouldn't have been more than an hour or so in length, and that didn't strike people back then as terribly long for a sermon or a teaching. Remember, St. Paul in Acts is reported to have preached from sunset to sunrise. Verse 23, you should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Released from where? Chrysostom, I suppose he had been cast into prison, or if not this, that he was sent away from Athens, for this is also mentioned in the Acts. Timothy's mention here again brings to mind the close circle of those who worked with Paul. And remember Luther's ingenious suggestion that it was actually Apollos who is our eloquent speaker. Makes sense, but we'll have to wait for the light of eternity to know for sure. Verse 24, greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with all of you. Paul often would here name those whom he was greeting, as opposed to the more general greetings that opened his writings. But this remains quite general in both those sending greetings and those to whom the greetings are sent, the leaders and the saints. But mark that final word, grace be with all of you. And what is that? Chrysostom one last time. What is this grace? Remission of sins? Cleansing? This is with us. For the cause of all good things is this, the continual abiding with us of the grace of the Spirit, for this guides us to all good things. And so we wrap up Hebrews. We've noted from the start the influence of ideas, both from Paul and John, and yet composed in a different key, if you will, from either of those. Whosever's work this is, the church has long recognized the Holy Spirit's voice in it, because of its beautiful confession of how in Jesus absolutely everything is better. Better covenant, better sacrifice, better promises, better blood, speaking a better word, a better inheritance, and all accessible only to faith in this age, all unseen, but heard through the word, and so delivered, believed, and lived from. You have come to Mount Zion. You have come to the city of the living God in Jesus. Till next time, people loved by God, when we begin our big journey into Romans, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or a comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.